Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, June. That's right, June 5th, 2025. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. As always, you can find us on thechairshot.com and everywhere that you listen to your favorite podcasts, all those platforms there. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. I'm going to go around the room like I always do and introduce this cast of characters. I'm going to start with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine. He is Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window, and a man with the bionic back. I almost forgot that and left that out. Jason, sir, how's your week?
It's going wonderful, my friends. I'm happy to be back with you guys.
Well, we're glad to be back with you. I'm glad our audio, as always, is sorted out. I want to introduce the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He is the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, the king of the power nap, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel. Rob, sir, how you doing?
Long week, man.
Yeah, buddy, I tell you what, man, it's Thursday, right? Okay? It feels like it took us 9 days to get here.
Oof.
Like, I'm wore out.
Yeah, because look, we've had toilet trouble here. Cause,
at the house or at work?
The pipes beneath the house have never been great. Like, the toilets have always kind of sucked here.
Oh, no.
And so this is one of those weeks where one of them just got, like, really backed up. And, like, from nothing anybody even did in here. Something just, it was underground, you know. And so I've been, with one of the toilets here, I've been just dousing with Green Gobbler all week.
Ugh.
It's finally almost back to normal.
Now, is this something that your HOA goes towards fixing, or is this just something that you have to spot treat yourself?
It's inside the house. Well, yeah, it's inside the house, so it's up to me.
It's up to you. Oh, that stinks. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd have to just rip up like everything and have somebody go underground and find, you know, why, you know, either that it might just be that the pipes here just in this little cul-de-sac may not be good. Period. Underground. I don't know, but it sucks.
Well, hopefully you get all that figured out, man. I've had to deal with that kind of stuff before, and it stinks. We had to have this whole house replumbed about 3 or 4 months ago because the hot water heater burst in the slab. Like, the main hose running from the hot water heater into the slab burst. And that's the second time it's happened in, like, 2 years. And the first time they just rerouted the hot water heater. The next time they had to replumb the whole house. It was miserable. Well, we didn't come here to talk to you about our toilet problems or plumbing problems. This is a wrestling podcast. We've got some wrestling to talk about. We got a lot of stuff going on, and I guess we'll kick off the show doing what probably everybody else who has a wrestling podcast is doing this week, and talking about the one thing we never thought we'd be talking about, or at least didn't think we'd be talking about this soon. That is R-Truth no longer with WWE. Now, I want to frame this in an appropriate way, because a lot of people run with the word released, And I don't want to argue the semantics of released versus contract expired equals still out of a job. No shit. Okay? I want to say, for starters, it's a bit shocking the way this all went down. I think we all have kind of had the same looks on our faces. And if you'd have asked me 3 months ago, a week ago, Ron the Truth Killings had a job for life in WWE, and that seemed like that was always going to be the thing, and that he would eventually retire on his own terms. That did not happen. It looks like WWE is letting his current contract expire and will not be renewing. There's been a couple of different stories, some misinformation, and a lot of different things come out of this. One was that Triple H made the final call. Another one was Nick Khan made the final call, and that he's known for a few months that this was coming. And the last thing that I saw was that they actually offered him a contract with a pay cut. How much, I don't know, because I don't know what he's making or what they offered. And he turned that down. Doesn't matter. At the end of the day, R-Truth is gone from WWE, and I think it sucks. And we're not going to get into the politics and the what and the why of it all. I want to use this time and this segment to thank R-Truth and give him his flowers. He has been somebody we have supported on this show as well as on our personal social media accounts for just about as long as we've collectively been doing this podcast. Amazing performer, amazing entertainer, and a guy that we have just grown to love, like so many people have, not only, as fans, but, you look at the outpouring from his coworkers and his peers. The guy was loved. And it's a shame that this, not only this talent, but this person, that this human being who, was probably a locker room leader, probably, a locker room bright light in an industry where there ain't a whole lot of that. Like, there's some nice people, but they're on a lot of bright lights, and it seemed like R-Truth was that when you read what a lot of people are saying about him. Jason, I'm going to kick it over to you first. You go ahead and run with it, because I've got a lot more to say, and I want to process my thoughts.
I mean, he understood the assignment every single time. He was a sports entertainer, man. He was going to dive hip deep into whatever he was doing, and he was going to give you it all, his all. And it doesn't matter if he was the butt of the joke, he was the punchline, he was the delivery, it doesn't matter. That dude would do it, and he did everything incredibly. It was surreal. And I think part of that is most of the time it was small dose stuff. The 24/7 titles, reigns come to mind. And that helps a lot, but it never got boring, ever. So, I see the one side of, just a lot of different reasons of letting his contract expire. But at the same time, it's like, okay, but still, he was entertaining on television. So, but again, if they offered him less money, Rob pointed out, to us that, he's a Vince guy, so who knows what he was making, but we don't need to get into that deep into the woods. All that's to say, I don't think it was just some heartless decision, and I think a lot of this is, they're kind of rolling over to the new generation, and that's going to happen eventually. So, in the grander scope of things, I can understand why this happened. Bottom line, he was entertaining on my television every single week, and I'm going to miss him on my television every single week. So, there you go.
Right. It's something you mentioned that I don't think this was something that they just sporadically just went, hey, right there. Like, the narrative that a lot of people are running with is that, TKO or Nick Khan or whoever came to Triple H. We'll start here. They came to Triple H, and they're like, hey, we need to let go of R-Truth. Like, they didn't even give it any thought. And that's the way people are running with this, is like they just cut him off and shut him in. In my heart, I don't believe that happened. I believe there was probably a whole lot of, do we really want to do this? What are the pros and cons? Like, I can't believe that they just pulled the trigger on this without at least giving it some thought and seeing if there was a way out of it. Given how beloved R-Truth is, and it's entirely possible that they could have misread the room, misunderstood how important he is to the fans and miss how important he is to the locker room. We've talked about this a lot of times. As the booker, as upper management, you have blind spots to certain things in your work environment because you have your eyes on so many different things. And it's very possible that our truth's real value fell in the blind spots. Rob, you got any thoughts on our truth in general?
So I think this might, a lot of this, these changing stories kind of reek of passing the blame around.
Yes, very
because it went bad, because the reaction was so negative. And so, you got a bunch of different people trying to get their story out there, their version of what happened.
Yeah.
Nick Khan doesn't want to, he doesn't want to become known as the guy who's ruining the company. Triple H doesn't want to look like a doofus. And, I'm willing to bet that the sourcing for a lot of these articles are from Nick Khan and Triple H.
Shock me. Damage control on both of their parts.
Or people in their circle, or people closely affiliated with them. But rather than getting all that, I'll admit, when I first started watching again in around 2012, I was not a fan of R-Truth. That's back when he was working with Cena, and he and Miz were doing the awesome, 2011, he and Miz doing the awesome truth, and he was working with Cena. That's when I first saw him. I was not a fan. And to be perfectly honest, because my take on him at the time, to me, he looked like another black guy that Vince was getting the axe stupid on TV. And I didn't really care for that, to be perfectly honest.
I can see where that would look a certain way. Out of context.
Yeah, and the thing is, I can get somewhat, I'm not going to be the spokesperson of black people here, but I will say that I, just speaking for myself, can get kind of self-conscious and defensive about that kind of stuff. But then also at the time, there were, as far as black wrestlers on the roster, it was him. Mark Henry was starting to dial it down, so he wasn't even around that much. And Booker T had just stopped being active in 2012. So it was R-Truth, Kofi, and then Titus O'Neil and Darren Young. And, that was, as far as full-time active black wrestlers, that was it.
Yeah.
So for one of the four, of them, there's only four of them, and one of them is doing, silly stuff all the time. I was just kind of really? There's ain't even that many of us there, and they got you doing this.
Yeah, the only serious representation you guys had was Kofi, and they had pretty much officially buried Kofi at that point.
Well, and he was still doing the fake Jamaican accent.
Yes.
he hadn't dropped that yet.
Yeah.
So that was still kind of ridiculous on its own. So at that point, I was not a fan. But over time, he won me over time because, he showed me that he was not just being a silly black person on TV for Vince. That he was actually a legitimate, funny performer, and he was not doing just stereotype kind of stuff. He was interacting with everybody on the roster. He was making fun of everybody. He teamed up with Goldust for a while, I think. So to me, he proved to me that he wasn't okay, and he proved that enough of this, what he was doing was his own stuff, basically. He wasn't, the old man wasn't writing down a bunch of stuff and saying, here, go say this on TV, Truth.
Yeah.
Which, in the past, that has kind of happened.
Yeah, that's a discussion. I think we lost Jason. I'm going to try to get him back here.
Okay.
Where's he at? Jason, get your ass in here, man. For me, and I think I told you guys this, Truth did a lot of the stuff that a lot of people's favorite wrestlers... Jason, you back?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, great. No, Truth did the jobs and did the things that a lot of your favorite wrestlers think they're too good for. you know, a lot of the comedy stuff and being the butt of jokes. And I think back to everybody's favorite tag team to love and hate, FTR. When Vince had them doing the ridiculous comedy stuff on TV, that was one of the things that really pissed them off about the company and soured them on WWE. And I'm sitting here thinking, you guys think you're too good for that, and R-Truth made a career out of it. Like, there's a place for that, and it's sometimes, like, anybody can go out there and be the tough guy, be the tough wrestler. Like, anybody who's gone through wrestling training can do that, okay? To get out there and have the comedic timing and to make it work and not look so completely stupid is an art form, and Truth perfected that art form. And, you know, while also showing people during his TNA run that he's a serious wrestler. You know, he did the serious wrestling for years, you know, and he wrapped up his career. One thing he did on Twitter one time, and he never should have had to do this, but he defended it. Somebody, you know, people wanted him to go back to being Ron the Truth Killings that he was in TNA. And he said something, he's like, hey man, I put smiles on millions of kids' faces every night. He's like, and to me, that's worth it. And to me, that's so special. That's so important, because as we say on this podcast, and you know, our friend Jay taught us, wrestling at the end of the day is for kids and nanas, and nobody in WWE's roster understood that more than R-Truth. He understood, like Jason said, understood the assignment, and he understood the audience. This is what they like, this is what they want, and he excelled at it better than anybody.
Yeah, and like you're saying, there aren't a lot of people, well, because the wrestlers are not, in general, pro wrestlers are not good actors, okay?
They're not, and, no.
And to, you know, so to do comedy stuff and to do it well is hard. And he did it very well for many years, and he's still doing it well recently. And like you said, he's willing to do stuff that other people aren't. And pro wrestling has always had, or at least for a long time, regardless of company, has always had some bit of silliness to it. I mean, even in like the NWA, you had people like Jimmy Valiant, who was not a serious character, or at least at many times was not a serious character. And so it's not, you know, there's some degree of silliness to pro wrestling, and pro wrestling itself, the whole premise is silly.
It is,
right? But you have to be really good. You have to be really good and really talented to go out there and do comedy stuff that's actually funny and it makes people laugh and all of that consistently. And he did that. And as far as like, and then in the locker room, you know, you gotta have somebody who everybody can't want. You can't have everybody who's like driving really hard to be the world heavyweight champion. Right? That can't be your whole locker room. If your whole locker room is like, that's not gonna work because people are gonna, nobody's gonna wanna lose a match. Right? You got to have some people who aren't worried about that. And, you know, he was that. He was not, you know, and, you know, you didn't hear him. You never had to worry about him saying, not going to work with me, brother.
Right? Yeah, never once.
And, you know, you need people, your locker room is not going to work if you got, you know, 30 men and 30 women in your locker room. And they all are really serious about being in the main event and being the world champion one day. And that's all they care about. And they're going to do anything they can to get there. That's your whole locker room. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
You need some people who ain't worried about that and who are more than happy to, you know, to, again, take losses, to put people over, to, you know, be the person who gets pie put in their face or whatever. To me, that's, you know, if you ask me where they're really going to miss him, I think it's there. It's that you can't just plug somebody else in and tell them to go be funny. And also that you can't, you know, you can't just find people who are willing to go out there and just put whoever over and whenever and however.
The closest they have to that right now is Chelsea Green.
Yeah.
She's the closest they have.
Right. But, I mean, right now they really don't have any, they don't really... They don't have anybody on the men's side doing that like Truth was. And, or at least somebody that, that you will actually sit and watch, because like there, I mean, yes, I mean, you have like people like this album, but I mean, he's at the point now where nobody's going to actually watch him because you just figure there's no point.
Right.
But somebody like Truth who like, yeah, it's going to be something silly and slapstick or whatever. And you know, he's going to get, you know, but it's still going to be interesting enough to watch, and you're going to want to watch and see what happens. And I think that's where they're really going to miss him, you know, and, but, you know, again, I mean, he's a holdover from the Vince era. He's one of Vince's favorite guys. And if you're one of Vince's favorite guys, he would literally just hand you money for like the least little thing. Right.
Yeah. So if he dug what you were doing.
Yeah. So it is very likely that he was making a huge amount of money, not just like $1 million. There's a good chance he was making some ridiculous amount of money, and that we would all just be like, "Damn!" Right?
Yeah, like R-Truth is making that. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, grab the bag, my man.
Yeah, yeah, and he is 54. I guess to me that's not as big of a deal because they've just recently signed several people who are over 40 years old.
Yeah.
But that's one of those things, it doesn't matter until it does, you know? Yeah.
One thing I want to kick over to Jason, this was something that we talked about in our little group chat. As fans, we had to watch R-Truth get run out of the territory by his childhood hero in kayfabe. Get run out of the territory by his childhood hero, John Cena. And Jason said, I'll let Jason.
I don't remember what I said at all. I'm glad it popped you, though.
It did, because you were like, isn't that really the most R-Truth way to go out?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Like, that's why, I mean, somebody had to know something. If that match happened,
they've known like, for a while. He knew for
so
a while.
So I think he knew, you know, that, you know, hey, I'm coming to the end of that contract I signed. I know when the end of it is, and nobody's calling, and I'm calling, and it's going to voicemail. You know, and all of a sudden I have a match with John. Oh, I think I might know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like they fast tracked that, and now we know why. So.
Yeah, yeah. It stinks, but also I'm glad that's how he got to go out. Like, seriously, that's no other way to get rushed out of the territory by John Cena.
Yeah. So. And if he ever hears this segment, doubtful, but if he ever does, I just want to tell Truth. You didn't just put smiles on the faces of kids and nanas. You put smiles on the faces of at least the three guys hosting this podcast. And I personally want to thank you for that.
You're here.
Now, let's move on from that, because I could sit here and talk about this whole thing all night long. I don't want to do that. I want to move into the next segment. We have Money in the Bank coming up this weekend, and is customary, Jason, as I give him his new intro here, is going to take over the duties on the show, but first...
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. That's lovely.
And you're ready to go,
that's
Jason.
Great. I am. I'm ready to go. So first up on the Money in the Bank card, where are we emanating from? Inglewood, California, the Inglewood Dome. So we have four matches on the card. God bless. We have two Money in the Bank matches, a tag match, and the last chance match for the women's Intercontinental title. So we'll just start with that. Last chance match for the women's Intercontinental title, Lyra Valkyria versus Becky Lynch. I think that Becky is going, I think now is the time that Bayley comes in and interferes Becky and her go off and do their own thing. Rob, what do you think here?
I think Becky wins this, and then that'll get us to a third match of some kind. Because if it's over here, then Lyra has to go up on her own. And, you know, I don't know if they've done enough where they can just where they can go send her off on her own now. Yet, you know what I mean?
Okay. I thought Rob was done. I'm sorry.
Any more stipulation? I don't really like that anyway because that means either the person's going to win or it's going to be something or everything is stupid. You know, which of course the most famous example of that was with one Mr. Rhodes
in AEW. Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Yeah. But so I think right, I think Becky wins here because if she doesn't, because if she doesn't win, then which, I guess well, she can go feud with Bayley. Okay, but yeah, I don't know. I think Becky wins here.
DJ?
Yeah, in my official ChairShot Radio Network staff picks, which you can find on thechairshot.com, that should be available at the time of this podcast is available. My pick was for Lyra to retain. However, the way Jason framed it and the way Rob framed it, I can see a scenario. If this is going to be a trilogy of matches, which I think it can be and I think it needs to be for Lyra's sake, you can do a quick title swap here, and then she can win it right back at SummerSlam. And then Bayley goes off to do her thing, and Lyra can move on to the next.
Fair enough. All right, so next up, let's get the tag match out of the way. We have Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso versus John Cena and Logan Paul in a tag match. I look for the good guys to win here. Logan probably eats the pin because I don't see either champions getting pinned, and I don't see Cody eating a pin this soon either. So, Rob, what do you think here?
Oh, I think Cena and Logan win.
Well, who pins whom? Yeah, that's the tough part. Because that's what I said too. Looking at the card, I was like, probably, oh yeah, sure.
Probably Jay, because remember Jay's gotten into it with the. With the Rollins gang, so yeah. They could very easily come get involved, and you know.
Okay. All right, fair. DJ.
I think that Cody and Jay win this. I see a scenario where John Cena abandons Logan Paul. Remember, we've only got a few months left. John Cena's got probably a bucket list of people he wants to wrestle, or they want him to wrestle. I have to imagine Logan Paul is on that list. That leads to somewhere down the road, not necessarily Logan Paul as a babyface, but John Cena as a babyface and Logan Paul coming out to confront him about being left behind and left for dead at Money in the Bank. I think the babyfaces take it home and send him home happy on Saturday night.
Okay. So next up, we have the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match for a women's championship match contract. You know, the good old Money in the Bank briefcase. So we have Alexa Bliss, Roxanne Perez, Rhea Ripley, Julia, Naomi, and Stephanie Vaquer. I don't care. I'm pulling for Naomi. The end. Rob.
Yes, I'm pulling for Naomi. Naomi needs to win this. She should win this. The only other acceptable one would be Roxanne because, you know, they got the thing with her and Liv going on. And Roxanne winning the briefcase and winning the title would you know, add to their kind of tension or whatever. But that's it. But no, Naomi should win. It's time, damn it. Just, yes. I mean, nothing else is acceptable. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. DJ.
I will be the most happy if Naomi wins. I wouldn't be mad about anybody winning. I like every woman in this. Probably, and I'm setting a very high bar here when I say my least favorite in this is probably Alexa Bliss. That's still a pretty high standard. I'm going with Naomi. I'm gonna make it a 3-0.
Fair enough. But to be fair, one of the things I like to talk about with the Money in the Bank briefcase is how fun would Mr. Money in the Bank be? Not just the cash in, who would they cash in, would they win, blah, blah, blah. But how fun would they be with the briefcase, i.e. Brock. He was incredible. You know, and to your point, DJ, maybe just Julia because we don't know enough about her and I haven't seen her do enough character stuff. But and so she's just an unknown quantity. But everybody else in this match would be an awesome Miss Money in the Bank. like just the fun they would have with that briefcase even before the cash in.
Naomi,
yeah,
being
I'm pulling for Naomi, but you aren't wrong about, you know, not being there, not being a wrong answer.
There's no wrong answer here, but the best right answer is Naomi, because she could be at an absolute diabolical menace with that thing right now.
And to that point, she'd be the best Miss Money in the Bank because of exactly that reason.
Correct.
She'd be diabolical.
Correct.
So she'd be like, you know, she'd be like a slasher villain, like haunting those both champions. It'd be amazing. So let's move on to the men's Money in the Bank ladder match, the last match on the card. We have Solo Sikoa versus LA Knight versus Penta versus Seth Rollins versus Andrade versus El Grande Americano. I think that the Seth gang tries to interfere. I don't think that they are successful due to, you know, probably interference from Punk and Sammy. And because, you know, they're not on this card. So I don't think it's going to be Seth. So I'm going to go with, I don't think he's going to cash in anytime soon. It's going to be, by the time he does, it's going to be a world heavyweight champion that we're not even thinking of in like December. But LA Knight, because same reason as I outlined for the women. He'd be a really fun Mr. Money in the Bank. Rob.
I'm going Solo.
Okay.
And look, and I'm sorry, this match is not for me. It's just reinforcing my, you know, time to retire the men's briefcase.
Yep.
You know, because we got another situation here where it's like, okay, Cena's not going to get the briefcase cashed in on him. And which means we're either going to burn the briefcase again or we're going to have to wait until probably next year sometime.
What about the World Heavyweight Championship?
Well, I think everybody thinks that Seth is going to beat Jay. Seth doesn't need a briefcase because he has, you know, well, he has a couple of goons to help him cheat anyway. But of course, that, you know, well, sort of Damian Priest, but you know. You know, but I just, I think Solo, you know, because to me, you can do the thing with Solo and then Jacob either costing him on purpose or costing him, quote unquote, by accident. But I think, I don't know, just this seems like another burn the briefcase here.
EJ?
Along the same lines of thinking as Rob, but in a much different direction, I think LA Knight wins this because I think there is a match with him and John Cena on the table somewhere. I think you could have an unsuccessful cash-in, and you know, we get LA Knight and John Cena somewhere in the next 90 days after winning that.
Okay, bold. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is Money in the Bank.
All right, well, why don't we take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we are going to talk Mariah May. That's right, Mariah May debuted in NXT, probably one of wrestling's worst-kept secrets of 2025. Before we go to commercial break, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chair Shot Radio Network podcasts, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Pick up a t-shirt. The starving artist on these shows will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And we are back. Again, you've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Myself, Rob, Jason, we are going to talk Mariah May. And this is one we're going to talk about her coming over from AEW to WWE and starting in NXT. One, I want to talk about her, and two, I want to talk about the crash out, because people, the weirdos, right? Sickos, weirdos, what does he call them?
Weirdos.
Weirdos? They're weirdos. Okay. the weirdos have completely crashed out over this. And we're going to talk about that. We've got some words for them. But like I said, worst kept secret in probably pro wrestling of 2025, Mariah May ended her run in AEW spectacularly in a wonderful, wonderful story with Toni Storm. Excellent, almost 18-month-long angle? Like, this was, long-term storytelling for them.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.
It was the best thing going for a long time over there.
And the irony of that is it's literally one of the most WWE-esque things AEW has ever done. And it was their most popular and arguably their most successful in the company that is supposedly not that. And I think that's the part that I found the most hilarious about it. It got me to watch. You know, guys know I've been notoriously critical and just stonewalled against completely watching AEW. That brought me to the table and at least got me to watch that. So, yeah. And part of that was her work. And so for so long, it seemed like AEW was invested in her. You know, and that's not even mentioning the fact that she always made it clear that WWE was her goal. And there are reasons why she never made it initially and why she took the detour she did. And we can either go into that tonight if you guys want, or we can just talk about her coming over. I think this is a big pickup for them. Julia and Stephanie Becker just graduated to the main roster. So that leaves a huge void down there. Roxanne is now up in the main roster. So, you know, they needed an established draw. You know, not saying that the women down there aren't doing incredible work, but there's got to be a name, and Mariah May is that name. Rob, I'll kick it over to you first. You got any thoughts here?
Yeah, okay. So, she is young, but she's also kind of a young veteran. She's she worked over in Stardom for a while, then she came to AEW. She's exactly the kind of person you need to be a star on your developmental show, because she's enough of a veteran where she can work with the kids. And, you know, and then, but she's not, 45 years old either, right? And so she has time. She can stay there for a little while and go up to main roster next year or whatever.
She is 26 years old, Rob.
Yeah,
she's still fairly young herself.
Yeah, right. But for somebody her age, again, she's
been around a minute.
And so you can, she's young enough to relate a little bit better to the kids, and she's enough of a veteran where she can actually lead them through matches and things like that. Because again, she wrestled in the UK, she wrestled in Stardom. And she's wrestling AEW. She's been around. She's getting very well seasoned and experienced in different places. And so, yes, that's why you. And then also, I mean, you just brought up Julia and Stephanie to your main roster. The worst thing you can do is flood the main roster with a bunch of people.
Yes.
Because whenever, I mean, you can go through the past kind of classes of or years of NXT call-ups, It's usually better when they keep the group smaller and they can concentrate on them better. Okay? When the Shield came up, right? They came up, the three of them came up and then nobody else came up until the next year. They brought up, Charlotte, Becky, and Sasha. And, Bailey stayed there for another year. And so...
It was a different time then, because if you think about when the Shield and the Wyatts came up, there was a talent void. Like, Undertaker head was pretty much done. Kane was more or less done. Big Show, Mark Henry, you know, John Cena was the John Cena and Randy Orton were the only two that were really going full time. Edge had been pushed out. Daniel Bryan was still on the rise. CM Punk was getting ready to go on his way out. So there was a talent vacuum. So it was easier to bring up, what, six guys between the Wyatts and the Shield.
Yeah, but now let me just say, like, in 2023, they brought up, there was a flood in just 2 years ago.
Yeah, and how many of them are still there?
Half of them are gone.
Exactly. You know, you think of Shotzi and, you know,
Caden and Katana,
Indy Hartwell.
Yeah, and Zion Quinn and Odyssey Jones, like they all, Cameron Grimes, they all came up around the same time. They all came up in the same draft.
Yeah.
And
they're all gone.
So bring a flood to the main roster. Yeah. It's just not a good idea to bring a flood to the main roster because somebody's going to get left behind. So it's better for her. I think it's better for everyone involved for her to be there. Now, as far as her, like you said, she was always going to come to WWE, and I was trying to find the right analogy, but like there was, she did every, I mean, she really did everything there was to do in AEW. Okay. So she came into the company working with the world champion. She started a feud with the world champion. She won the Owen Hart Memorial Tournament. On their biggest show of the year in her home country, she won the women's world title. Okay. And they were in the biggest women's storyline in history of the company, the best women's storyline in history of the company. And, you know, I think for my money, it was the best women's storyline in wrestling while they were doing it. And it came to just the most dramatic end you could possibly have. I mean, they have, you know, the no DQ match, and they're both literally laid out, and on the marquee says the end over
the end roll credits.
Yes, I mean,
it was incredible, dude.
I don't give AEW credit for sticking the landing on too many things. This was absolute perfection.
Yes, and so, to me, and that was her, you know, that was all within like a year and a half, and so I'm gonna make a basketball analogy. Carmelo Anthony went to Syracuse. He won all the, as many basketball awards you can win for his season, and then he won the championship. And so so coming back, he could either come back or he could just go on to the pros. And he left. He went on to the pros. In this case, like you haven't seen a rookie year or a first year on a roster. There are only two women I can think of that came that from jump. Like you're talking about from the moment they got there for like the first 12 or 18 months. Did this kind of thing, and that's Charlotte on the main roster and Asuka and NXT.
Yes.
Okay. That's it. Okay. That's the kind of year she had in AEW, and her contract was up, and so there's, you know, and she, and again, she was always coming to WWE. Okay, she used to model T-shirts for the WWE website. Okay.
She's a diva stan from way back. She was always coming, guys.
Yeah.
Yes. So this is what, you know, you can't look, this isn't Tony fumbled.
Yeah.
This was Tony got the absolute most you could get out of somebody who was only going to be there for a short time.
We'll get into all that discussion in a minute. I want to kick this over to Jason and just get like some general thoughts here. Mariah, man, you excited? You not excited? You indifferent?
I'm excited. Obviously, what everything Rob's saying is true. You know, the last 18 months of her and Tony was just one of the, for my money, obviously I've been watching for a lot less longer than you guys have, but for my money, I've been one of the best women's storyline of my viewing experience. We'll put it that way. So, And she was a huge part of it, obviously. It was not just Tony being Tony and being incredible. She was a massive part of it. And
she was a great dance partner.
So, yeah. So, yeah, of course. For all the reasons, you know, I think she's going to do great because why would I expect otherwise based on her track record? And then, you know, yeah, like I said, she was like Rob said, she was a WWE shop model. I'm like, and, you know, I knew of her, seriously, when I first got back in 2015 as Internet Personality Diva Stan. And that was pretty much it. And now look at her. So, yes, she was always coming, guys.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see where they go with it, and I'm glad to see that they... She made a decision that she felt was right for herself, and I'm excited for the NXT Women's Division. You always get this sense of what's going to happen when they call up these big stars. And, you know, you look down at the roster, and there's some women doing some great stuff. Jada Parker's still there. Thea Hale's still there. Lola Vice is still there. Lash Legend is still there. So, I mean, there's, you know, Tatum Paxley and Fallon Henley, and so J.C. Jane's the women's champion right now, so there's still good stuff, but they, again, we talk about the vacuum, we talk about the void, and there's more women probably going to go up in the next year, so you've got to have an established star down there to lock it all down and hold it all down, and I think she's the right call, and I'm very excited for NXT's women's division's future, especially now that she's on board. I think it's going to be fun to watch the crash out when they rebrand her a little bit, because that's now the speculation, because they, again, like they did with Ricky Saints, they didn't mention her by name. So yeah, that got the weirdos in their feelings about, oh, they're going to rename her. They're going to rename her. Calm the fuck down. Okay.
Yeah, they are, guys. It's going to be okay.
They are.
Yeah.
Ricky Saints already flies right off the tongue.
It does. So it rolls right off. Don't worry about it. Yeah. So I want to, we got to talk about the crash out, because this is where, you know, and this is the last 48 hours have been just the fucking weirdos have come out. Not only about her, but something else I'm going to address in a minute. As far as Roxanne Perez goes, I don't know if you guys heard about that one.
Yeah, I did. It's pretty bad.
It is bad. It's disgusting. And, you know, people really need to get a grip on this kind of shit. But I've seen the worst of the worst, and unfortunately, because I'm an idiot, and how many times I have chastised the shoot bear for doing what I have spent the last 48 hours doing, and that's engaging these idiots, you know, on the app formerly known as Twitter, and you click on one, and you respond to one, and the algorithm does its thing, and now my timeline is littered with people who think that she's a joke now because she took quote-unquote, less money to go to the developmental brand when she was on TV, national TV, weekly, you know, completely ignoring the fact that NXT is a nationally televised show, but okay. So the crash out has been spectacular from the weirdos. And I kind of want to talk about that a bit, because the most disgusting part of it is these people who suddenly have become talent agents, you know, and know what's best for people, and somehow telling her that her dream job is wrong. And that's so weird to me.
Yeah, you go first, because I know I have a lot of time.
No, dude, it's just weird to be weird about it for all the reasons we just talked about. She was always coming, guys. This is the dream for people. Sorry. WWE is still a dream for a lot of people. Like, maybe not everybody, but I would guess in professional wrestling, the vast majority. So, I don't know. The crash out is very weird. And like Rob said, this isn't even a fumble. Tony Matt got all the juice out of that fruit, man. He squeezed and squeezed and squeezed, and she gave him everything she had. And everybody walked away and made money. So, I don't know what everybody's crying about.
They feel betrayed because there's this weird pocket of fans, and I swear these are kids. These people are the reason that wrestling fans still get shoved into lockers, okay? Because they're so weird about this shit. And like they feel like they've been betrayed by their imaginary girlfriend. And it, God, guys, WWE is still the pinnacle. Yes, Tony Khan is paying as much, if not more money, but Tony is also notoriously overpaying his talent. And we've talked about return on investment before. I'm not going to get down that road. Is it possible that Tony offered her more upfront money to stay? Probably. Probably. That's his MO. You know, since I have nothing else to offer, I will give him money. And, you know, some people, that's all they need. CEO. For other people, yeah, they have a much bigger vision for their brand. And this is key. In WWE, you can build a brand for yourself that will go global. And case in point, AEW's men's world heavyweight champion, Jon Moxley, is in that position. I know you guys don't want to hear it, but he is in that position because he is ex-WWE superstar Jon Moxley, formerly known as Dean Ambrose. Do you think for a minute that independent wrestler Jon Moxley, if he came straight from the indies to AEW, would be where he's at today? I defy you. CM Punk notoriously got a free ride in UFC because he's former WWE wrestler CM Punk. He would not have gotten that sweetheart of a deal if he had been independent wrestler CM Punk. So WWE enhances your brand recognition. And there are people who have worked a year, 2 years, 6 months for WWE, can go back on the indies and command a better salary because they worked at WWE than they did before they went in. This is just facts. This is what the business has done for decades. So I understand every reason why most people want to try. And for the people that sit there and say, I would never go there, I would never go there, that's, and I've said this on the show, that is more an indictment of you and what you feel you have to offer them than it is them and how they would use you once you got there.
Yeah, and all right, so yeah, I mean, I made the Carmelo Anthony analogy. Here's the thing, okay? She had done a year and a half almost with Tony, so with that feud over, you know, she can't go back to that for a long time, right? I mean, they could eventually run it back, you know, a few years from now, but
she
not
can
for
wait
long.
That long.
And there was nothing else. Again, there was nothing really. There was nowhere to go but down. And if she had re-signed there, you know, she'd have been, you know what, within 6 months, she'd been laying on the mat while the CEO song was playing. Okay?
You're not wrong.
So if you're okay with that, if you're okay, then fine. But if you would have had a problem with that, then you should be kind of happy that she didn't stick around for that to happen, and she will more than likely be holding a different championship belt within a few months. And look, I'm a big fan of hers, and I for one did not want to see that happen. Okay,
no.
You know, but in all seriousness, I mean, again, you know, they completely maxed out with her the time that she was there, and I imagine that since she wasn't there for that, I have no idea why you would give somebody an 18-month contract, but. But
well, it's possible she was there longer than 18 months. They just didn't start using her until, you know, the storyline asked
for
it.
That's possible. That's possible. Yeah. So
she did some because when it first started, they still had one of the minor shows, I think, and she did some bull crap on that.
I think she was on Dark Elevation, wasn't she?
Yeah, something like that.
But there was nowhere to go but down. There was literally, and you know, there's no cachet in, you know, being, there's no cachet there in being like a multiple time women's champion, really. And going from that storyline and then being the women's world champion, I mean, there's nowhere to go but down. And, you know, and her contract was up and she's going to go somewhere she really wants to go. And I don't think you would have been, for all you diehard AEW fans, I don't think you would have been happy if she stayed there. I don't think you would have been happy with the results because there was really nothing else for her to do.
There you go.
I mean, there really isn't. I mean, really.
No, you're right.
Sorry. I
mean, now she has a whole new ladder to climb and she's starting at the very bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, it's. Yeah, and if you think she's too good for NXT, I mean, okay, you can count like on one hand the number of people who did not go through NXT. All right, I think you can probably count on one hand, and several of them just happened within the last 6 months. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's because they're all from the same lineage.
Yeah, there's a storyline reason why they're in the positions they are. If this wasn't a thing, yes. These people would like.
Yeah, I'm talking about Cobb and the Tongans and, you know.
Six or Jacob. 8 years. Well, the Tongans were in, well, I think, what was it? Tama Tonga was in FCW, wasn't he?
Oh, it was one of them.
Years ago. But, you know, six years ago, Jeff Cobb would have gone to NXT.
Yeah, so.
Jacob might have. Well, just with his resume and his age and everything, Jacob might have. Because he just wanted. Okay, let's go with this guy.
There are a few can't sure. miss talents, and Jacob Fatu was one of them.
Yeah. So, but before all of those guys, like the only people who didn't spend any time there were AJ and the Good Brothers.
Yeah.
Everybody else went. I mean, Drew McIntyre, who had been in the company for many years, when he came back, he still went through NXT before he went to the main roster.
Okay. Shinsuke Nakamura did a stint in NXT. Mariah May can go down there for a year.
And Samoa Joe go to NXT.
Yeah, Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura did a run in NXT. It is perfectly okay for Mariah May to go down there and spend a year. Plus, as we always say, go to the main roster and do what? The main roster is so loaded right now with women, and that's even after they just released a bunch. They're still loaded with talent at the top of the card. There's no room for her. You know, do you want her feuding endlessly with Lyra Valkyria? Do you want her stuck in a program with, you know, some, like, no, Mariah May is somebody you build around. And, you know, for her to go to the main roster right now, she gets swallowed up because there's too many top talent there right now. Bianca and, you know, Naomi and Jade, it's too crowded right now. I don't want that for her because eventually either she goes to catering or someone else that I do like gets stuck there. Put her in NXT where she's going to be featured regularly on TV. She's going to be a staple at this point. And you know, as far as the money side of it goes, I read earlier that it sounds like she just signed with that talent agency that a lot of the talent's been working with, that Paradigm.
Yeah.
Which is going to open up doors and going to open up wallets to her. So no matter what her base pay is, she's going to make more. And it may end up at the back side of everything be comparable to what Tony was offering in a contract anyway.
And also, I mean, look, I mean, you know, if knock on wood, you know, within a few years, she's going to get to reach. She's only 26 years old. She will get to sign another. She would get to sign a much bigger contract in a few years.
Yes. She signed a multi-year deal. I don't know what multi-year. Could be two, could be five. You know, either way, even if it's a five, she'll be 31 when that contract ends. That's fucking young, man. That's somebody who, depending on how their body treats them and how they treat their body, that's somebody with 10 to 15 more years in front of them. You know, so, yeah, we got a lot of runway here for Mariah, or whatever they end up naming her. It's going to be okay, guys. It's going to be fun. And yes, working for WWE is perfectly okay. It's perfectly okay.
And whatever name, she's going to get to pick her name. They get to pick their own names, people.
I hope they call her June Bug. Call her June Bug. That's a good name for a wrestler.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, you know, it's yeah, I mean, come on. Like, it's going to be fine. And you know what?
It's probably going to be Rick, like some, exactly like Ricky Saints. Like, as soon as they say it, we're just going to be like, oh, yeah, that's better. That's
that works.
Better. So.
And look, and here's the other thing. If for some reason it doesn't work out, again, she's 26 years old. If it's for some reason it does not work out, she'll be back.
Yeah, she'll come back home, guys.
Going right back.
I mean, if for whatever reason this doesn't work out, she'll be back, and she'll still be young enough to do 10 more years in AEW if she were to come back there. Okay? Like, you're not losing her. I mean, it's not, come on. Just get over it, guys. Get over it. I mean, seriously, come on. What are we doing?
But again, why are you getting mad? All signs that we have ever seen point to this being, like Jade has outright said, Mariah is basically shown us that this has been the plan all along, guys. She wanted to go to WWE, period.
So all of you.
And that's for some people. Look, that's just what it is for some people. Shaquille O'Neal was always going to go to the Lakers. That's where he wanted to play.
Yep. Boy, so we pissed off in Orlando about that.
Starter team, you know?
Yep. So,
it is what it is. I mean, sorry, Orlando, right? They drafted him, but he always wanted to play for the Lakers, and so that was going to happen, you know, and that's just what it is sometimes, you know?
So I'm going to tell you, like I tell you guys every week, stop being nerd!
Yes. I mean, guys, if we're going to go tit for tat here, y'all literally just got Ricochet, so shut up.
Beat it.
y'all got one. Okay, y'all got Ricochet, okay? So,
and he's having a ball.
If you want to play tit for tat, hey, y'all got one. Okay, y'all got one of ours, okay? Okay? You want to do that, okay? If you want to play that game.
The person is smart.
Oh, no.
People are dumb.
God. I'm playing around with the soundbar tonight. I'm having fun. No, it's going to be fine, guys. It's going to be a fun ride, and if it all falls apart, she'll just go back to AEW.
And she'll come back to reclaim her throne or whatever, you know, and that'll be great too, okay?
And that's the fun part of this whole thing, is she's got a built-in story back there.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
So that's why you got to look at this stuff.
If for whatever reason this doesn't work out, she has, yeah, her return story is right there. And again, just in terms of being happy for the, being good for the wrestlers, it is really good for the wrestlers that you can do all she did in 1 year in a year and a half in AEW and then go to WWE, and if for some reason that doesn't work out, she can still come back.
Yep.
Okay, you know, 10 years ago, that wasn't a thing. Okay, you know, 10 years ago, you know, first of all, if she hadn't gotten to WWE when she had tried earlier, she might have been out of luck, okay, for a career. And now, you know, coming in, you know, 10 years ago, if she had come to WWE and it hadn't worked out, who knows, right? I mean, so now, I mean, be happy that there is the environment where somebody like her can, again, have one of the best opening years on anybody's roster ever and go try something else. And if that works out, then great. And if it doesn't work out, then she can come right back there and, you know, and still make good money and all that kind of stuff. I mean, so again, if y'all care about the wrestlers as much as y'all act like y'all do, which, I mean, again, y'all go on Twitter every day and y'all talk about these wrestlers like they're your brothers and your sisters and your girlfriends and your spouses and your family members. That's the way y'all talk about these folks. If you really hold them in that high regard, then you want them to have the best possible option for their career. And like I've said before, you know, you can't the options are no good if nobody ever uses them. They can't just exist. Somebody, you got to use the options. Somebody has to use the options. Okay. And look, and it's a two-way street. You know, I mean, look, Ricochet came over to y'all. Okay. And he could have, you know, the Hurt Syndicate came over to y'all. You know, of course, Moxley did many years ago, and there are still people coming there. Okay. You know, Speedball Mike Bailey had options and he chose to come there.
Yeah.
Josh Alexander chose to come there. You know, there are plenty of good people who have options and who have chosen to come there.
They don't look at all that.
Y'all are not the abandoned, you know, sad sack, you know, company or whatever. There are plenty of people choosing to come there.
Yeah. All right, before we get out of here, Jason, any last thoughts?
No, good luck to Mariah May. I'm excited to see her new name, which is probably going to be, again, it'll probably be better. So who cares?
Yeah.
And like Rob said, from everything we've heard, these people get to pick their name. They just don't get to use their shoot one or whatever, or their, you know, street one. They just have to make a new one. And okay.
And then,
it gives them a clean slate, like a reset, or an evolution. So don't be mad about that. Very weird.
If she was going to keep using Mariah May, then they would have copyrighted it and they would have owned it. I don't think you want that now, do you?
I thought I read somewhere that's her shoot name.
Oh, I mean,
I had it pulled up a minute ago. I could be way wrong on that.
Okay, her real name is Mariah. Mariah May Mies. That's her.
Okay, so Mariah May is her shoot name. So, yes. Yeah, I mean, hey, it makes sense.
It has a little more wiggle room.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, you don't want, I mean, ideally, no, you don't want WWE copywriting her that name. No. You don't want that, because then they get to keep it.
Yeah, no, you don't want that, that's for sure. So.
No.
All right, well, guys, why don't we get out of here? It's been a good show tonight. I am going to wrap back around the room like I always do and thank my co-hosts, starting with Jason, sir. Fun show tonight.
Yeah, I had a great time. I'm glad we were able to do this, and I'm excited to do it next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We'll see what happens. Money in the Bank, I think, is going to be a lot more fun than people are giving it credit for. I'm looking forward to talking about that with you guys. I may break down and try and watch some of Fighter Fest? Is that what they just did this week?
Yeah.
Okay, I may try and watch it 4 hours. I'm going to have to break that up over 2 or 3 days. That's just more AEW than I'm wanting to consume in one sitting. But I may try and break it up, and maybe we can kick some of that. Because the second half is next week, right?
I think they're doing another one next week. It's going to be 4 hours. Basically, it's Collision and Dynamite on the same night. Because I think just some other stuff going on Saturday or something.
It's getting preempted. So, yeah, maybe we'll kick around some of that. If there's anything worth talking about, we'll do that. Also, want to thank, because he didn't get any this week, but he did start to shoot on us a little bit. He is the shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Mr. Rob, sir, fun night tonight.
Yes, and it was. And I have to take the time to shamelessly plug my own show here for once.
Go for it, man.
Because our friend Brooklyn Ike was back.
Oh, you had Ike on?
This episode.
I need to reach out to Ike. So what'd you guys talk about?
We talked about mainly basketball and also about content creation, because he has a YouTube channel that he puts like a lot of gaming stuff on.
Okay.
So, yeah, he was back with me this week, and so do check that out.
All right. That is the Rob the Genius podcast.
Always a pleasure. And if you've been watching your local news, look, me and my brethren, we've been getting loose in a few places. You know,
the shoot bear is running wild.
There was one around here, you know, not too far from my house here, and there was a little video of one of my bear brethren that got loose at the shopping mall in Connecticut somewhere. So we're getting loose.
The bears are taking over, man.
Nature is healing.
It is. All right, guys, we are going to get out of here. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.